About standing, and so we're going to start with Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 14, and we'll be in several verses here in Genesis chapter number 6, and just a simple thought, just here about the ark, and somebody was asked to build, but see, what we forgot is that he was already standing.
Mm-hmm.
He was already doing what he was supposed to be doing. And so therefore, see, a lot of times everybody wants to have a cause to stand up for. But what about the causes to stand up for, no matter if anybody's counting on us or not? Standing up. And of course, he did this. And of course, when we are consistently standing for the Lord, I'm not talking about flashes in the pan. I'm not talking about being the first one to tell somebody you're doing this and it offends me. But if you notice, he was already being obedient. And God said, here's something for you to do.
Right.
And, of course, such a great example of the ark. And so it gave him a job to do. And in Genesis chapter number 6, verse number 14, and so it says, make an ark, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms that shall thou make the in ark, thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And just think about this in just a simple thought. The ark of gopher wood. Just think, the ark, and standing, and building something. Boy, don't you want your life to count for something?
Yeah.
Amen. I want my life to count for something, amen?
Yeah.
I don't want to be just a flash in the pan. Anybody could be a flash in the pan. But those that are faithful, we have some men and women that are faithful to the Lord. And that goes a long way. And that doesn't, faithfulness does not mean to be faithful, you have to be perfect.
Right.
I think us as Christians, sometimes we say, well, I wasn't faithful. I was like, no, you were faithful. You just weren't perfect.
That's right.
Amen?
Come on.
And I'm so thankful. And in all reality, God is perfect. Jesus was perfect. Perfect, sinless Son of God. Amen.
Yeah.
Take away our sins. And so, therefore, us as Christians, boy, I know that we want to be the best that we can. Amen. I hope that you want to be the best that you can be for the Lord. Amen.
Yes.
I do. Amen. If you know, there's something wrong, amen? And so, just a simple thought, just the ark of gopher wood of here, where he was asked, Noah was asked to build something. In all reality, every Christian is asked to build something. And it's all the same for every Christian to start with. Then there's differences. But the number one thing that God wants us to have is that personal relationship with him.
Amen.
To hear his voice, to understand and follow the Holy Spirit. Dear Jesus, Lord, we love you today. Lord, I pray in the next few minutes, Lord, I am a nobody, but I serve you. And Lord, I just want to be faithful where you have put me. Lord, I fall short. Lord, forgive me for my mind is a little frazzled tonight with several different things going on. But Lord, I know that you can find focus. And Lord, you can do the work that I could never do. But Lord, help me to do the part that you have asked me to do, and to do it faithfully. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. And I'm going to try to watch my time and be careful. Amen.
Man.
So everybody's going to hang on. Amen. But in verse number 13, and God said unto Noah, boy, I'm going to tell you something. Boy, God said unto Noah, he said there was a reason for this. Amen. God doesn't have us as Christians just running around doing things just so that we can be busy. Amen. I don't know about you, but I've been around some very, very busy people that get nothing done.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I've been around it. I'm related to some. I can't be that person. Amen. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I can talk it out. My great-grandpa, on my mama's side, my grandpa Bill, boy, he would get so mad. He'd say, well, you guys have talked this thing out and never done anything. Amen. And he was a man of action. And then, of course, we're blessed that on Amy's side of the family, her grandfather on her mom's side was like that. He was a go-getter. He didn't want to hear you talk about it. He said, get it done. Amen.
Yeah.
But, you know, I kind of think, as we see here, and God said unto Noah, but he said, here's why. Do you know God doesn't owe us an explanation?
Right.
But when we have a relationship with the Lord, he will give you that explanation.
Yes.
He doesn't have to.
Yep.
But so many times, if we're walking with him, he'll let us know why we're doing it. Amen. I think that's quite interesting. He doesn't owe me anything. He should get blindly. I should follow him blindly. Amen. Because he's God.
Yes.
But so many times, isn't it wonderful when he shows us when you have that relationship? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I had somebody several months back was explaining something to them, and they looked at me and said something that is very rare for me to hear. Thank you for sharing that with me. Thank you that you trusted me and felt comfortable enough to share that with me. I've only heard that a couple times as a pastor.
Yep.
And I thought to myself, wow, what a kind way for them to realize I'm just trying to make sure everybody's on board. Amen?
Amen.
Because, I want to work together. Amen?
Yes.
But in verse 13 here, it says, "At the end of all flesh has come before me." Boy, think about Noah. Boy, he's getting a rough course.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting told that God's done. God's angry.
Yeah.
God said this is not going to go on anymore. Now, for America, boy, think about this. As Americans, that's why we need to walk. We need to be like Noah and walk with the Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, we've got to stand. Amen?
Yes.
For the Lord. Amen?
Yep.
And you say, well, Brother Ray, I'm not perfect. Well, neither am I. Amen?
Amen.
But you know what? God's not looking for perfection. He's looking for honest Christians that will stand and say, this is why I come every Sunday and teach my Sunday school class. This is why I go on visitation. This is why I do whatever I do, because God's called me to do it, and I'm going to be faithful. Amen?
Amen.
And I remember several years ago, there was a church fire. And there was some very important people of the church. The firemen were having to hold them back. And they wanted back in the building. And one of the firemen said, okay, this is enough. We're trying to fight this fire, and these people have lost their mind. So finally, the chief of the fire department looked over and he asked him, he says, why do you want in there so bad? And one of the directors of the church said, because we need our attendance sheets. And then the fireman said, you know, before I could stop myself, because he was a Christian, he says, God knows who's here and who's not. He remembers. And I never forgot that. There's so many times we're worried about what everybody else thinks. We need to be in our place. Amen. But I'm thankful that Noah was in his place.
Yeah.
But he was told something that I would never want to hear. I would never want to hear the Lord tell me that he's done with our church.
Yeah.
He's done with my lack of commitment to the Lord. My lack of friendship to him. My lack of obedience to him. My full of selfishness. But that's just some, and that may not be for you. Amen. But I want us to see here in verse 13, and I hope this will be a little bit of a help. But here he says, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Boy, think about it. Look around. Look at the violence. Look at this. You know, we spend more in America for first responders, firemen, and paramedics. Now, in most cities, cannot respond in the inner city without police officers present. And then we find that police officers are not even safe.
Yeah.
But violence. Think about this. Look at, just if you would, just in the next week, and you see news articles and things, how many of them are needless violence? Mm-hmm. And you say, well, Brother Ray, violence through them. And behold, when I destroy them. Boy, think about this. We see this, and we see, and here Noah had all of this going on around him, but he still stood.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
No matter what's going around, you're responsible for you.
Yes.
I'm responsible for me.
Amen?
Yeah. And boy, I'm responsible for our church, for us to stand and be faithful.
Yes.
Now, I'm not in competition with any other church, but I want to be in cooperation with the Lord, and I want to be following the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And that's a hard task. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
Because I have this thing called flesh.
Yep.
Just like everyone else here back in Noah's day did. But Noah stood. Noah was faithful. See, we go and say, oh, he's faithful to build the ark. Absolutely. But he was faithful before that.
Amen. Yeah.
Boy, you know, I've always been amazed when I was in Bible college and assistant pastor, and people that would demand to be put in charge of stuff. And I said, you could be in charge. See, I have a smart mouth. Because when I was in Bible college, Brother Bewley, I would say, well, they could be in charge if they'd show up. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
If you have to be in charge to show up, then you didn't stand.
Right.
But I have found those people who stand and are faithful. Boy, God has a task.
Amen.
Yeah.
Boy, if I had a task for somebody to do as great and wonderful as build an ark, to provide all the animal safety and the family, his sons and wife, and their mates, that family. Think about that. Not only did he stand for himself, but he stood for his family.
Yeah.
Because his family was saved because of that.
Amen.
But I want us to see this at the end of verse 13. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Boy, could you imagine? Now I'm going to tell you something. It's very difficult to stand when you know everybody else isn't going to make it.
Yeah.
Tell this story, and this is not the first time I've told the story, and this is not a story that was just for me. This was a story that was repeated to me in my second year of Bible college, and it has never left me. And they have what they have now, that they have drawbridges. And the trains would run across these drawbridges, and they would have to be moved. And there was a drawbridge, a man who ran the drawbridge and had his son there. And of course, that touches my heart now because I like to bring Michael with me.
Yeah.
And that way we have a chance that the job will get done right. Amen. And I remember hearing the story. And the story goes that this man had his son there. And he had the drawbridge open. And he was working on some maintenance things. And he knew he had a limited amount of time because the next train would come through full of passengers, supplies to get through. And it was time to close the drawbridge. The train was coming closer and closer. And time was of the essence. And the gentleman left, got back up, started closing the drawbridge. And he realized his boy wasn't there. And he knew, Sister Marty, that if he did not close that drawbridge,
that's right,
many, many, many lives would be lost.
Yep.
But what he didn't realize is as he continued to close the drawbridge, he realized he started to hear the screams of his son. And he had gotten trapped in the mechanical parts of that drawbridge. And as the train went by, the people on the train said, "What is that old man crying about? What is that old man screaming and hollering about?" The people on the train said, "There's something wrong with him." But see, what they didn't realize is because he was willing to sacrifice to stand, what it cost them to be able to continue on their safe passage.
Yep.
See, look at what Noah did. He built an ark. God asked him to build the ark. And of course, we could go many, many, many different directions, but we don't have that much time. Amen. But verse number 14. We now know what he was asked because things were going to be destroyed. Make an ark of gopher wood. Rooms that shall be made in the ark. And thou shalt pitch it in and without. See, God has a plan.
Yes.
Now I'm going to tell you something. If you think you can skip a step when we stand for the Lord, somewhere's going to spring a leak.
Oh, yeah.
I have learned that every time I skip a step, it always comes back to get me, Sister Bayretta, Sister Sue. If you put something together and you have extra pieces, they don't just ship extra pieces most of the time.
Sure.
Now, every once in a while, they'll send you an extra piece here and there, but usually not as many as we have left over.
Amen.
Me and my daddy were putting stuff together. But they pitched it in and out. See, if he'd have just done one side. How many of us as Christians sometimes, well, I did this, half obedience. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about not being completely obedient is the hearken to them, the fat of the ram. And just think of this. Well, I hope this helps somebody. But anyway, verse 14. Pitch it in and out. But now I want us to see in verse number 15. And then he tells them not only to do this, but then this is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length that he gives, height that he gives, windows that he gives, everything. Can I tell you something? God has a plan.
Yes.
And he doesn't need us to second guess him. And he doesn't need us to do more than he asks. And he sure doesn't need us to do less. Okay?
Yep.
See, sometimes we think we can help the Lord out. And if you have that, if you have that mindset tonight, we are wrong.
Yeah.
We can do nothing to help the Lord. We need his help.
Amen. Amen.
See, when we think that he needs us, it's the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Several years ago, I came to the conclusion that the ministry doesn't need me.
Yeah.
I need the ministry.
Amen.
And I think that that was a turning point in my personal life. Because sometimes we think that everybody else and ministry and God and the angels and everybody needs us. And you say, well, Brother Ray, how do you know that's true? Because I have a 4-year college degree.
Yeah.
You'll get that, and that's a joke. And somebody's going to write you a letter. I'm sorry, brother. But I'm just saying that sometimes in good intentions, we get mixed up. But I'm so thankful that Noah stood strong.
Yes.
He built what he was supposed to build. He followed instructions. That's why I don't think he was a Baptist.
Amen.
Because he followed instructions.
Yep.
Amen. But anyway, moving right along, I think you're going to get a letter. But verse number 18, I want us to see this. But I'm so thankful, but with thee I establish my covenant. Boy, can I tell you something? Isn't it wonderful when you realize what God says he'll do for us? And he doesn't owe us anything.
Yeah.
But boy, isn't it wonderful when we can read in the Word of God that he says he'll do this for us? Isn't it wonderful? Now, I can't make him do anything. But I'm thankful he wants to do things for me.
Yes.
And he loves me. And he loves me just the way I am. Boy, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Right.
But I don't want to stay the way I am. I want to continue to grow and learn to love my Savior more.
Amen.
Yep. Amen. But establish my covenant that thou shalt come into the ark. He made a promise here. Boy, isn't that something? I'm so thankful that, boy, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I'm thankful that he came to seek and save that which was lost.
Yes.
Amen. I'm so thankful for those things. Amen. I'm thankful for the promises of God. Amen. And we could do a whole study tonight, but we won't. About the ark. And about the safety and the salvation and all of those things. But us as Christians, we need to stand for the Lord. He stood for us.
Amen.
Amen. And I could preach a whole message tonight on where he has stood for us. He stood so many places for you and I.
Oh yeah.
Our Jesus has.
Yeah.
Amen. And he continues to sit at the right hand of the Father. Amen. And even though he is seated, he is standing for us.
Right.
He's interceding for you and I. Amen?
Man.
Boy, if you can't get excited about that, something's wrong. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
But I hope this will help you. But not only was the ark for Noah, but as we see in verse 18, thou and thy sons and thy wife. Now, can I tell you, you may be absolutely 100% within your personal right to live in personal liberty to do as you choose.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, there's people that are relying on us.
Oh, yes.
Right? Amen?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, boy, Amy ought to rely on me and I ought to rely on her. Amen. And
amen.
We ought to rely on our Savior. Amen.
Yes.
Because there's a little boy, Michael. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
There's people relying on us.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, I'm going to tell you, boy, I think that's one of the things that's missing in America. People are just willy-nilly. It doesn't matter. No. We need to be men and women of our word. Amen?
Amen.
We ought to keep our heart pure before the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
But here, we see that the sons and the wife. Boy, that's important. I'm going to tell you something, and I don't mean this to sound very mean. But so many Christians, and I'm going to say this about preachers, because our number one responsibility is not our ministry. And that will make people mad.
Come on.
My number one responsibility is my wife.
You're right.
That's right.
And then my son.
That's right.
And above all of that, my responsibility to the Lord is first.
Yeah.
But my responsibilities here on earth is my wife and my son and my ministry. Amen? And I know that you're going to get a letter. If it's all capitalized, that means they're yelling, just so you know. Yeah. I've recently learned that about texting people. And you say, Brother Ray, in verse number 22, this is what I love. And this is how we'll wrap it all up. Amen? I'm trying to hurry. Amen? But I love this in verse number 22, chapter number 6. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. Boy, I think that's wonderful. Wouldn't it be wonderful if when God called us home, when God got us to the other side of the problem, God got us victory in our lives, He could say that we did everything that He asked us to do.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Amen.
But you know what? There's some times that I personally get to the other side and I look back and I said, how did I not do that? How did I not follow through with that? Amen. We ought to be our biggest own critic. Amen.
Amen.
Beat the devil to the punch. Amen.
Yeah.
Thus did Noah, according to all that God had commanded him. Amen. And last point. Amen. Because I'm ready. Amen. So did he. He did it. Amen.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of people who can, and there's a lot of great, wonderful Christians. Great, wonderful Christians. They can tell you the Bible back and forward and sideways and ups and downs and tell you how to do everything. But they forgot to stand.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody will follow somebody who doesn't stand. Jesus stands for you and I. Noah stood for his family and their safety. Amen?
Yeah.
But what about you? What about me? What about us? Are we standing for the Lord? Are we making that stand? Brother Samson, you know, I fall short as a preacher.
Oh, yeah.
And you say, oh, Brother Ray, I need to know because I'm having trouble standing somewhere. I said, and this is not new. I'm not smart. I got it from somebody else who was. Said that if you're having trouble standing, how about you just kneel?
Come on.
And God will give you the strength to start standing.
Amen.
Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The devil will never help you stand. He will just knock you to your knees. But when you start praying on your knees, God will help you stand.
Yes.
Boy, we live in a world where nobody stands, but everybody's falling for everything.
Oh, yeah.
And if you dare stand, then you're a bigot.
Mm-hmm.
Help us.
You really believe that word of God. You believe that? I've made people mad over the last couple months where they asked me some stuff and I says, well, what does the word of God say about it? What is the word of God? Somebody asked me about a whole bunch of sin in the word of God. And I said, well, the word of God says this. And I go by the word of God.
Yeah.
Amen? Had somebody angry with me saying, well, you're a bigot. You don't love people. And I said, whoa. Because at first I thought they were making fun of my size, calling me a bigot.
Yeah.
But then I thought, well, maybe they were making, I think they thought that, then they said I didn't love people. And I says, oh, no. I love them, but I don't love their sin because I know it will destroy their lives.
Amen.
I know it's a sin. It's a sin trick of the devil. Amen?
Yes.
But how many of us have been tricked and have fallen into some things. Amen. What does God, how does God, and what he said he will do? What God says he's going to do, he's going to do. If there's a problem, if there's a fault, it's because I didn't do my part. I didn't stand. Amen? Now I'm going to tell this story because I love it. It makes me laugh. And I'll be done. Appreciate the opportunity to always share the Word of God. Several years ago, over 8 years ago now, on the 17th of May, I got to marry my precious wife. What a wonderful trip and a time of life, being married, and we love each other, and ups and downs, and all of these things. But I remember the preacher giving family members certain cues for the wedding. And Brother Samson, it was crazy, because I said, boy, I didn't want him to ask who objects, because I figured somebody would figure out I'm no good for her. Amen? And somebody would speak up. And you say, how do you know that? It was held in a Baptist church. You know, somebody's going to speak out, you know? And Sister Marty and Sister Heather, I was just nervous as could be. And I was just excited, you know, to start my life with my wife. Amen? And boy, I'll never forget that he had given cues to people. And we came out, and the first thing, and I knew it was in trouble, because we came out around, and somebody was trying to help organize, but didn't know what they were doing. And we had plants that had been put in our way. So I said, boy, we come out, and we're trying to look dignified, and Pastor Poole and me and the other men were trying to push plants with our feet, you know, to come around. And somebody had pushed them and thought they were helping, but I appreciate them. I don't know who it is. You might get another letter. And I'll never forget. There was a particular time in the service when two of the most gracious ladies you'll ever meet, but don't cross them, had a particular time they had to stand up. And that was to give the cue for as the bride came in. And that was my mother-in-law and my dear mom. And I'm going to tell you, both of those ladies, I think my mom and her mom had made an arrangement that we're going to stand so that nobody will object, because they wanted us to be married. But can I tell you something? It was the most unique thing. I was on the platform, nervous as could be, and they started the music, and Amy hadn't come in yet, but my mother-in-law and my mom jumped up like I've never seen before. They met their cue because they knew greater things were to come. See, us as Christians, that's why we need to jump up and stand for what is right from the Word of God, not our opinions, not what we like, not our customs, not our culture, but what's right from the Word of God. Jump up, be in our place, because there's greater things to come. Yep. There's greater things to come. There's greater things. And you say, well, Brother Ray, you're talking about stuff. I'm not talking about stuff. I'm talking about heaven.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid somebody may not hear about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he'll forgive them of their sins, because I didn't stand up on cue.
Come on.
And they didn't see the greater things to come. There's some greater things to come. And I'm looking for greater things the rest of this week. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Samson.
Amen.